I have to begin in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 41st chapter. I'd like to recall for us a familiar story, that of Joseph. We find here, Joseph was a young man that had a heart for God, a tender heart. The Lord, from a young age, gave dreams to him, and don't know that he fully understood them all the time. Of what he did understand, his brothers certainly didn't appreciate the dreams that he had. We're familiar with the story. Won't go through the whole history of it. But as Joseph found himself in Egypt, in a place that he probably would never have chosen, a way that he never would have picked out for himself, yet he found himself there, found himself in prison for a charge that was falsely accused against him. But it says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years as Joseph's in prison. Seemed like he was forgotten about all that time, but the Lord hadn't forgotten about him. Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. They were fed in a meadow. Behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept, and he dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. It's one thing to have a dream, and as dreams usually are, they're strange, they're a conglomeration of things that are familiar and things that don't make sense, and a lot of times, at least for mine, I don't put a whole lot of stock in them. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I move on from it. But this was a dream, as Pharaoh had this dream and he awoke from it. It reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar whenever he had his dreams, and he was so troubled by it. This isn't just an ordinary dream. This isn't an ordinary happening. There's something here that I need to be getting a hold of, and it troubled his spirit as it did Pharaoh's here. I don't know what it is about this dream, but he called the magicians and all of those that should have been able to tell him, but they weren't able to. He was able to relate, no doubt, the details, and here's what I saw, and he saw that, but he didn't know what it meant. You know, there's a lot going on in our world today that people are looking at and saying, I don't know what it means. We haven't seen anything like this, and I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I know the one that does. And as we move on here, the Lord brought back to their memory that there is one who is able to interpret dreams, and he's down there in the prison, and they called him and brought him forth and said, Joseph, can you tell me what this dream means? So he related to Joseph the same that he did unto the magicians. And Joseph was able, the 28th verse says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. And he gave him the explanation or the meaning of the dream, that there are coming 7 good years upon the earth. And then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. 7 years that are so bad that you'll forget, by reason of how bad it is, you'll forget the prior years that were good. And the dream was given not just to trouble Pharaoh, not just to worry him, The dream was given, and it was given for a reason and a purpose. And it said, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. It wasn't just a dream for you in passing, but this is something that the Lord wants you to take action and to prepare for what's coming. And I believe that there's a scripture here, I'm not seeing it at the moment, where Joseph, as did Daniel, after him said, "It's not me. This came from God. It's not of my interpretation or of my ability or because I'm special or I'm born with a skill or a talent." I'm adding these as my words. "It's just a natural talent that I have to interpret dreams, but this has come from God." You know, the Lord could have sent the 7 good years upon the land, and he could have followed them by the 7 bad years and never have sent any dream whatsoever. It just came upon the earth. But you know, the Lord in his mercy wanted to send this dream unto Pharaoh here. And he wanted Pharaoh to take action upon it. The Lord gave the interpretation and the meaning and the understanding of it. It's not enough for us to just see the things that are happening in the world around us. It's not enough for us to just see those and be troubled as the world is troubled. The world is shaking and trembling and wondering what to do, and they're taking action in many instances. And we're seeing the shelves laid bare, and we're seeing all of that by a people who see things happening around us. And I don't know what it means, and I don't know what this is about, but the things that are so familiar and the things that I've relied upon, they may not be available, and it's troubling unto me. You know, the Lord wants us to be taking action, but I don't think it's about us buying out all the things that are on the shelves. The things that happen in the world around us, the Lord wants us to be wise, discerning the times that we live in, that they're troublesome times, that we don't maybe know altogether why the Lord is working in the ways he's working, but we know the one to look unto. Believe it's in the passage where Jesus was warning about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he used that instance to prepare us for the end of time. That he said, when all these things begin to come to pass, and people's hearts will begin to fail them for fear, that we don't have to be in the same category. We don't have to just see these things that are happening around us and just be the victims of it. But it says, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's more to it than just the natural happenings of what's going on. There's more to it than flesh and blood. The Lord wants us to be prepared for the times that are coming, whatever those might hold. It's easy for us to get into a mode where we think what has been always will be. And so in our society, at least over the last few generations, we have become very dependent upon a grocery store, upon being able to go and buy packaged things and packaged goods, and we rely upon that. And people are starting to realize more and more how dependent we are upon people besides ourselves. In a time, in a society where we're told, you're self-sufficient. We're a self-made man and woman. We're able to go and achieve and accomplish whatever we want to achieve and accomplish. And we have progressed so far as a society. You know, the Lord knows how to bring us to our knees. The Lord knows how to bring us to a realization that, you know what, without my favorite canned good or whatever it is. I don't know what to do. And people are in a frenzy and in a panic. Well, if you look back just 150 years to those who went before us, they probably wouldn't have been in as much of a panic. I know what to do. I've already been preparing. I already have my canned goods. I already have my meat that's dried and prepared for the winter that's ahead. And I'm not as dependent on all those things. Well, my burden today is not as much about how we prepare and lay up in a natural sense. But I believe the Lord wants us to realize that we're a very dependent people. We're dependent upon the Lord our God. The Lord gave understanding to Joseph that there's something else coming. That there's more to it than what you're seeing right here and right now. Our society is so focused on the here and now and the today and what's right around us that they're not able to look forward or to look ahead. The scripture says in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself. He sees what's coming because the Lord gives understanding. The Lord foretells, as he did here to Pharaoh and to Joseph, that there's something coming. And I'm showing you that. I'm allowing you to see that, to prepare yourself for it, to make preparation for it. That there's something that's coming. Mention about the destruction of Jerusalem. You know, the Lord was faithful to do that very thing. It wasn't just to the disciples that the Lord gave this warning. The Lord Jesus said that this is coming, that this temple is going to be destroyed. And he gave warning about the destruction that was coming upon Jerusalem. History bears out that the Christians who heeded Jesus' words, that whenever this destruction came on Jerusalem, they had taken action. They had prepared themselves. They remembered the words of their Lord. And they had removed themselves from the city. They had taken action on it. But those that scoffed at it, those that dismissed it, those that assumed that everything would continue as it always had, they were caught in it, in one of the worst, most terrible situations and times of distress that's been. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So Joseph told Pharaoh, in this time, you're about to enjoy plenty. But don't just enjoy it and move on. There's some preparation that you need to do. You need to take some of the abundance we heard in Sunday school about, that nothing be lost or nothing be wasted. You need to take of the abundance. You need to take of the plenty that's made available to you right now, because it's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be available to you in this abundance. So make full use of it. Be a good steward of it while you have it. Because again, the time is coming that you won't have it. And I've made you a steward over what you have today. Lord, help us to be good stewards of what He's given to us today. Matthew 24, back to the passage of Jesus warning the things that were coming. I'd like to look at the 37th verse now. It says, for as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days of Noah, the warning had gone out that Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, I am persuaded, had made known on every opportunity that he could that judgment is coming. It's not always going to be as it is today. What you wake up to and your way of life and all of that that you've become so accustomed to, It's not always going to be that way. There's something that you need to be preparing for that you can't see right now, that's not come to pass, but today is the day to build. Today is the day to prepare, not to wait for the time, as our tendency is to postpone, to procrastinate, to hope it won't be, to hope I'll be okay, as Brother Rick mentioned earlier, to hope that I'll be ready, to hope that my name is there. It's not enough for us to say, well, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Today's the day of preparation. Today's the day for getting ready for what's coming. And so Noah was doing exactly that. As the Lord in his faithfulness had given the warning, Noah, this is coming. And I'm telling you this for you to take action, for you to prepare for that day when it arrives. But it says here, as it was in the days of Noah, the majority of people were just going on their way. The majority of people were still going about their daily routine of life as they had always done, disregarding the warnings, disregarding the signs of the times, disregarding the things that were coming to pass. Wouldn't you think, at least whenever you see a parade of animals coming by your house, wouldn't you think that would be enough to get your attention? And you see them all, there's no one behind them herding them along. You see them all as they're going up into the ark. Wouldn't you think that would be enough to say, you know what? There's something to this. We need to prepare. We need to get ready. But their hearts were so hardened by that point that apparently they took no heed unto it. Until the day that Noah went in, the door was shut and it began to rain. It's too late. The time of preparation is already over. Oh, I would that people today were trying to prepare for the needs of their souls as they were for what they're trying to stockpile. That's so fleeting. It's so short. If you run out of canned goods or paper goods, that's nothing compared to what we read in the next chapter of 10 virgins, all of them with a lamp, all of them with oil in their lamp, that went out and they were with the same purpose and intent and desire that the bridegroom is coming and I want to be ready. But in the process of time, five of them didn't take care to make sure they were prepared. In the allotted time that they were given, in the space of time for preparation that the Lord gave while they were waiting to keep their oil refreshed and replenished, they didn't see to it. They fell asleep, slumbered and slept, and they neglected what was most important of all. Oh, how many people today are slumbering and sleeping, disregarding the thing that's most important of all, seeing to the temporal things around them and concerned and worried about that and getting worked up into a panic over that and then the needs of their own soul, disregarding it. Today's the day to buy oil. Today's the day to prepare. Scripture says, Romans the 13th chapter, Romans 13 and the 11th verse says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." Knowing the time. Oh, do we know the time? Jesus, looking at the Pharisees, has said, you're able to look at the sky and you're able to discern the weather that's going to happen and you take action from that. But you're not able to see the signs of the times. You're not able to take action for the needs of your soul from that. Again, so much of our world is focused on the temporal, on the here and now, on the today. I believe the Lord's trying to wake people up. I believe the Lord is trying to cause folks to be stirred out of their drunken stupor, out of their sleep. It's high time to awake. It's high time to awake out of a spiritual slumber and in a state of unawareness of your spiritual needs. It's time to wake up out of that condition and to get ready for the things that are coming. Think about the rich fool. His fields brought forth abundantly, and he was laying up. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger and all of that. But the problem was not that he wanted to build a barn, not that he needed a bigger barn. The problem was that he didn't care for the needs of his soul whenever the time was available. Whenever it was the time of salvation, he didn't see to or care about the needs of his soul, but only that which was temporal. Paul said, If there is no resurrection of the dead, then let us rise up, let us eat, let us drink, for tomorrow we die. And so it is, the mindset of the world, as if this is all there is to it. Let us rise up and eat and drink and make the most of life that's here, because after this there is nothing else. Let's look at 1 Timothy, draw a bit of a contrast to that. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. The 19th verse. Well, let's start with the 17th. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And he's charging those who are rich in the things of this world and this world's goods. You know, this is not advocating or teaching that we buy our way into salvation. This is not advocating that if you give enough to the church, that you're going to secure a place in heaven for yourself. We can't do it. There's no penance of our own. There's no good work or righteousness of our own or temporal things that we can bestow or give to the Lord, though there may be value in it, that can get us to heaven. That's not what this is teaching. But if the Lord makes us the steward of temporal things, we have a responsibility to those temporal things. To look beyond just the temporal, to see beyond this life. Oh, there's so much that's relative. As we look at our world and other nations, that we might would say in our society, I'm not rich. Boy, I'm having to live paycheck from paycheck. And other nations, if they do get a paycheck, maybe it's the equivalent of $5, something like that, that they would look at us and say, you're wealthy. Lord, help us not to get into a place that I become so focused on the here and now and the temporal and my manner, my way of living and my standard of living and all of those things, that I lose focus on what is to come. Again, not about buying our way in, but it's about us with what God does give us, that I not allow my focus to become centered on that. That I lay up in store for something else. Where Jesus said, don't lay your treasure up here in this earth, where moths and rust and thieves corrupt, or thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Prepare for that time. Let that be your focus. Let that be such. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Folks, today is the day to prepare. Yes, for this darkened world, today is the day. You know, it's the time for all of us to prepare for what's coming. It's the time for all of us to take inventory. What do I have on the shelves, so to speak? Do I have enough to get me through what might be coming? Some of the panic, I believe, that's in our world is, and it can be a little unsettling. If you go to the grocery store and you see there's no meat, you realize, you know what, in a week I'm going to be out. What are we going to do? Lord, help me to take spiritual inventory. When I can become so accustomed to the way things are, when I can become so accustomed to even what we do here in services, that I'll be fed from week to week, that I'll be able to be encouraged, that I'll have access, ready, quick access if I need something. I'll be able to go, I'll be able to pick up the phone and call brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and I know I've got it right at my disposal. Well, if I ever get into a question about doctrine or what the Bible teaches, well, I know I can go online and I can look up in some of the old books and some of the old literature, or at that time if I need it, then I can go and I can study about it. You know, there's a preparation the Lord wants us to be doing in the good times, in the prosperous years, in the years of plenty, in the seven good years, so to speak, is the time to prepare, not just laying up canned goods on the shelf, but preparing myself. Lord, help me in the good times that we're in. Lord, help me to make the most use of it. Lord, I want to lay up in store a good foundation for the day that is to come, that's not here yet, that I don't see yet. But today is the day when the Lord in His faithfulness will try to prepare us for the tomorrow that we don't see, for the tomorrow that I don't know what it holds. But the Lord will send in our lives the abundance, and He'll send at times the hardship to cause me to dig, to cause me to take inventory, to make sure I've got on hand what I need. Because you don't want, in the time of crisis, to say, now is when I need to go shop. I don't have the grace. I don't have the faith. I don't have... Well, the Lord's been trying to prepare us. Oh, in our prosperous time that we've enjoyed. You know, there's a danger in the prosperous times as well. There's a danger in getting lulled into a false sense of security. That the abundance that's all around me, it'll always be this way. I'll always be able to enjoy. And so sit back, take your ease. You have many goods laid up for many years. Don't worry about anything. Well, the Lord is wanting us to lay up in store a foundation for the time that's coming. I'd like to look now at John, the 9th chapter. The first verse says, Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. I'd like to take just a moment, a little detour here. It says, as Jesus passed by. Remember what Brother Rick said in Sunday school about he took a different route that morning. As he was going to the unemployment office, it didn't seem like maybe there was any specific reason or cause. You know, it can seem like sometimes just happenstance. As our life unfolds and happens around us, that it just seems like the circumstances of life that we're victim to them. We oftentimes don't see how they all connect and fit together, and it looks like we just kind of take it as it comes. And I didn't see that one coming, and I didn't see that one coming. It says here, as Jesus passed by, as if to say it was almost a seem coincidental. Jesus just happened to be walking by this way, but we know that it wasn't. From what Jesus went on to say, His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It tells me that wasn't coincidental. That it wasn't just happenstance. That he wasn't just the victim of bad luck that fell on him. The disciples were looking on it wrong, as we can as well. Many times in life, Lord, I don't have all the answers. Lord, it looks like, why would you allow this? Lord, why would you bring this to pass in life? This has got to be the result of, as they told Job as well, it's got to be the result of sin. It's got to be a result of God's displeasure on you that there's some hardship you're going through. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That children of God will be exempted from sickness, from hardship, from imprisonment, from any of those kind of things. But it said there was a purpose. It doesn't, I don't believe, say here exactly how old this man was. But he was a man. He was of age. As they began to question him, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." From the time he was born, you know, that could have been around the time Jesus was born. Could have been as Jesus was a child. Again, we don't know for sure. But you know, the Lord in his providence had his hand over it all. Long before Jesus ever passed by, the hand of God in his providence was moving in that situation. Down the road, knowing I've got a purpose to fulfill in you. I want to show my glory in your life. You're going to have to bear something as a result of it, but one of these days, I'll send my son to pass by your way. Oh, thank the Lord that, folks, we're not the victims of luck, of chance, happenstance, but we trust and put our lives in the hands of one who says all things work together for good. To them who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus went on to say, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I believe if I have this right, this was within perhaps 6 months of Jesus' crucifixion. Things had always gone on for, if that's the case, 3 years or so that Jesus had been with the disciples. But you know, Jesus knew what was coming. And he knew that his opportunity, his window of earthly ministry was closing. And I believe that he felt an urgency within his spirit that the time is coming to an end. The day is here now, but it's not always going to be. This is the time when I need to be about my Father's business, that I need to be making the most use of the time that's available to me, the time that I have right now. There's no time to lose. There's no time to waste. I must be about my Father's works and my Father's business. And this was ordained to the Father. This is part of his works. I must be about that. I must be doing that. I want us this morning to be challenged that we are the stewards of the time that we have. Every one of us is a leader. Every one of us is a manager. If of no one else, of ourselves, of our own time, as the keepers of the time, every one of us given the same number of hours in a day, and we're made responsible for the use of our time. We're put under, as children, put under governors that help us to know, okay, it's time to stop playing. It's time, you've got to get this done. No, you've got to do your schoolwork first. You got to get your work done first. You've got to be a steward of your time. Don't just procrastinate and put this off for later. You've got to get it done now. I mean, you know, as we mature and grow up, sometimes it's a little bit hard to grow up. Lord, help us to grow up in the things of the Lord. That I would take the responsibility as the steward or the keeper of my time. Because the devil, as a thief, looks to steal our time. He can't reduce the hours of the day any. You know, the devil has so many ways of stealing our time. The devil has so many ways of causing people to waste time. Of causing us, again, as we heard about, that nothing remain, that nothing be wasted. You know, the Lord, as the stewards of our time, we're going to stand and give an account to God of how I've spent my time, of what I've done with it. Lord, Help me to take inventory. Lord, how am I doing? Because this is the time. This is the window of opportunity. This is the day, the daytime, when we can work. This is the time when I can invest in my soul, when I can invest in growing in the Lord and in learning of His Word, when I can invest in working for the Lord. Lord, help us to feel the urgency of the hour, that it's not time for me to sit back on my lees. It's not time for me to just focus all of my life on myself and me and my comforts and my wants and all the things that, Lord, it's daytime when man can work. The night is coming when no man can work. Lord, help us to be about our Father's business with a sense of urgency. Lord, the nighttime's coming. Lord, there are people that aren't ready for the nighttime. Lord, what is it that I can do with my time? Lord, is there a phone call I can make? Is there somebody I can visit in the times that we're in? Lord, can I make a visit to the grocery store and take my neighbors? Lord, what is it that I can do to work for You? To show the love of God to those that are around us. To be about my Father's business. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's see what Paul said here. Ephesians 5 and 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Don't be as those who are foolish about what we have, that we're in the 7 good years and it'll always continue like this. We're in the time when it's not raining and it'll always continue like this. Don't be as fools. Don't be as the simple man who passes on and is punished. But make preparation. What does the proverb say to us about the ant? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Go observe the ant in the summertime where there is an abundance, where it seems like perhaps there's no need for it. That's when the ant is the busiest, laying up in store, getting ready for the time that's not even come yet. But by what God has put within that ant, the wisdom that surpasses the wisdom of a lot of people today, to make preparation for what's coming. Awake, thou that sleepest. Let Christ give thee light. Walk circumspectly, or looking all around, having an awareness of the times that we're living in. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding. Let's skip down. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Again, the enemy has so many ways to try to rob and steal our time from us. And I'm not saying that the Lord expects of us, if we sleep 8 hours a day, that there are 16 hours a day that we do nothing but writing letters or making phone calls or whatever for the Lord. But as stewards of the time He's given us, Lord, help us to be aware of how I'm using my time. You ever get to the end of a day and just feel like, I didn't get a thing done? You know, the devil has so much fluff. It's kind of like, I don't know if all of you have a junk drawer. You know, junk drawers tend to fill up to the top. Where you ever had trouble trying to get it shut, and you have to kind of rearrange and tamp down, and then you can shut it, and it seems like the answer is just move to a bigger drawer. You know what'll happen when you move to a bigger drawer? It'll fill up too. And you know it's that way with our time? It seems that we live in a busy time, and we do. You know, the enemy will see to it that our drawer is filled up. He'll see to it whenever we say, you know, I don't have time. Because the drawer's full. Because you can only fit so much in 24 hours, and the enemy wants to see to it that we fill the drawer with so much worthless, meaningless things, back to what we talked about last week, of that which is lawful perhaps, but not expedient. It's just filling the drawer up. It's just filling my time up. You know, whether it's, I think it's some of the games we have on available to us on computers or smartphones, you know, they're designed to capture and hold our attention. It has to, or it gets old, and after an hour you throw it away. But it's many times you'll notice that if you play those or get into it, and I'm not preaching against playing a game, but of being good stewards of the time that we have. You get into it, and I've got to get to this next level. And then this next level opens up something else, and now it commits me to something further out. And now I've got to get to this next place. And then I spend my time, and then it opens something else up where there's continually a development or something that keeps it new and requiring more and more time. You know, it's just the way that the devil works. That he'd like to fill up and then request something more, and that leads to something more, where in our lives I can get to a point to say, you know, I don't have time to go down to the nursing home and visit the sick. I don't have time to go knock on doors and invite folks to service. I don't have time to write a letter or an email or a text message to somebody. I'm guilty. The Lord's had to challenge me about my time. When it can be so easy to say, well, you know, I meant to send you a message yesterday and I just didn't get around to it. I just didn't have the time to do it. I just want to challenge us this morning that we walk circumspectly, preparing for the times that are ahead. Folks, we're preparing for something more than a toilet paper and a food shortage. We're preparing for a time that people are going to stand before the judgment seat of God and hear Him say one of two things: enter thou into the joy of the Lord, or depart ye cursed. Lord, is there something I can do today while it's day? Folks, life's day is short. Lord, help us to make the most of it today. Lord, what can I do to walk circumspectly? Lord, what can I do with what you've given me to make the very most of it for your kingdom? The devil, again, with his techniques, tricks, tools. If nothing else, the devil will employ a tactic of running the clock. Know what I mean by that? You have maybe a basketball team. They've got a minute left on the clock. You've got a team that's up. That team is better off to maintain possession of the ball, even if it's dribbling off on the side somewhere. Even if I don't make a goal, I'm going to run the clock. I'm going to keep possession of the ball by default, because while I've got possession of it, you're not going to be able to score. And then the time comes that the buzzer sounds, and it's too late. The clock's been run out. So the enemy, is trying to do with souls today: run out the clock, filling their lives with meaningless, empty chaff. It's of no real value, focusing on and spending their time investing in and getting ready for and looking at all that is temporal, fleeting and passing, and spending no time preparing for those days that are coming. So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. While today it is day, while today the door of opportunity is still open, how am I doing with it? If I take spiritual inventory of what I'm investing, what does the scripture say? Add to your faith patience, and to patience virtue. And there's an inventory. Let's stockpile. The warnings are going out against stockpiling for good reason. You know, there's no warning against stockpiling of patience, virtue, long-suffering, grace, building upon your most holy faith, and those sorts of things. Folks, we will need every thing that we're able to invest and lay up in store in the future. So Lord, help us that we make the most of our time today to be wise as Joseph was, as the five wise virgins were, that we make the use of the time we have today to prepare for the time that's coming. You pray for me.